The opinions expressed on Three's Company are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 2 of Three's Company. I'm Tony Marinoff. Here's Chris Capone and Evan Davis. This week's show, we're going to get into a few different things. You know, last week, it was all about going into the season. Now we're a week in at time of recording. And lots of stuff has happened, so we're pretty excited to get into it. First, we're going to just talk about the week, and then we're going to go with some of our way too early favorite picks. We're going to talk about the Lake Show. Evan, I know you're excited for that. We're going to talk about how the Bucks suck. Funny how that rhymes. That's the only funny thing about them, because that's a big disaster fire there. Going to go into Ja Morant, seeing him back and, you know, looking absolutely filthy. Going to go with the Nuggets, you know, not champs last year, 2 years ago, being winless, have a chance to get a win tonight against our home team, Raps. Then shifting over to the WNBA, how they have so many head coaching vacancies. And finally, we'll go into TMU and the OUA. So, Chris, start us off. Week one, what do you got?
Well, week one, I'm kind of just feeling, you know, kind of down because I just see the Celtics repeating in my head and it just seems so gloom and glum. Like, I don't want the Celtics to repeat because it would just be so boring. But looking at their team right now, everything's firing on all cylinders. They look unstoppable, and they don't even have Kristaps Porzingis.
Dude, 29 threes. They missed the last 13 threes to get the record in the game one.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts. How do you go? First of all, you got to be pissed off to go 0 for 13 on your last 13 threes. Like, and it wasn't just bum shooting them either. Like, Pritchard took a bunch of those. Hauser took some. Tillman took some. Like, there weren't bums on there.
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for the Celtics to actually play some meaningful competition before I say they're going to repeat, because we've seen how hard it is to repeat. Like, let's calm down for a little bit. They've played the Wizards and the Pistons in their last two games, and they played a Knicks team that is still trying to just figure it out in their first game at that time after making the trade for Kat and Mikhail Bridges. So I'm going to wait to see how the Celtics actually do once they play, you know, varsity-level teams and not JV teams. But
that overall, Pistons game was pretty good, though. I tuned into that fourth quarter.
Like, yeah, it was good, but it shouldn't be that close.
No, 100% with you. 100% with you. But Pistons, like, they were doing a good job. Then Tatum made this crazy shot at the end. It was a fadeaway jumper that rolled in and out of the – it, like, rolled out of the rim, went all the way up, and then back in. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, the Pistons, when they were on that horrid losing streak, they almost broke it against the Celtics. Like, I don't know. I'm not on the Celtics yet until I actually see them play a varsity team.
I mean, yeah, we look at it. We look at it, and, you know, the Celtics, Tatum's playing a lot. Like, he's actually shooting the ball with conviction now. He had that stretch basically in the entire playoffs last year where he just wasn't good at shooting the ball at all. And people were talking about his shooting form, how awkward it was coming across. And he changed it going into this season. And unlike Mikal Bridges, who changed his shooting form, it's actually panning out for him. He shot 28% in the playoffs last year. He's shooting 48% through the first week of the season on almost 12 attempts per game. Like, Jason Tatum is completely playing with a chip on his shoulder after being benched during the Olympics. And, you know, people kind of downplaying him. He's not winning finals MVP. He's playing with a whole new chip on his shoulder right now.
Well, I think a team that we should be talking about is the Oklahoma City Thunder, who look unbeatable right now.
And they don't even have to say the same thing.
They don't even have Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren. Like, Chet Holmgren might win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's leading the league, and he has, I think, 4.5 blocks a game or 4 blocks per game right now, something like that. He has 25, 14, and 5, and 4 blocks, 2 steals against Jokic. Guy went nuclear. Like, the guy who's, you know, skinny and usually get embodied by those bigger guys, right? He put on some muscle over the offseason. I'm sure everybody saw that.
Yeah, he's averaging 4 blocks, 13 rebounds, nearly 24 points, and he's shooting 56% from the field.
Yeah. And these aren't just layups. Like, the guy's a jump shooter. You know, he's not just a run and dunk man. He takes his shots.
This team is just so deep. Sam Presti for the Hall of Fame. I mean,
he's got to start moving those picks, though. That's my opinion. Now, because now you're in that window. It's like, go get someone.
Who do they need? Like, hypothetically, like, I thought they were going to go after Siakam because I just thought the way that he plays would fit with OKC.
They still should.
Like, I said it, like, last year before Siakam got moved. I was like, dude, if he goes to the Thunder, like, move off Jalen Williams and bring in Pascal Siakam. Like,
I'd rather have Jalen Williams.
I know he fits their play style better, but I just think Siakam, like, I don't know. He just also plays at high pace as well.
One thing for the Thunder is their two guard spot is the one that keeps being switched around. They've played three games so far, and they've had three different people starting at shooting guard. They've had Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace, and Aaron Wiggins. In three straight games, they've been switching around that two guard to play with Shea. And it kind of goes to show, like, that's kind of the position they're looking for right now. They have their small forward and power forward, where they're kind of running Lu Dort at the four right now, or Lu Dort at the three and J-Dub at the four. But what the Thunder really need is a solidified guard piece, but there's not many teams right now that I think would be looking to move off one of them.
The thing is, though, like, you also gotta remember Hartenstein, though. When he comes back, that two guard spot's filled by J-Dub or Lu Dort. All right, moving on. All right, way too early favorites. And we're talking, like, some teams have only played two games here. Everybody, we'll go. I want each of you guys to give me a different award. So, one of you guys give me MVP, one of you guys give me DPOY, and one of you guys give me, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Clutch player.
I think right now my MVP would be Jayson Tatum, just because I think the Celtics are going to have the best record in the NBA and he's going to be the best player. And like I said, he's already playing with a chip on his shoulder. I think Tatum's going to somehow end up with that MVP award. Not somehow, he's going to end up with it.
I think Dalton Knecht wins Rookie of the Year. Like right now, he's looked really good off the bench with the Lakers. And out of all the, like, I think he's the only rookie that's averaging double digits right now. He got like 20 minutes off the bench in their last game against the Sacramento Kings. Like JJ Redick seems to love him. I think Knecht, like Sarr's looked really disappointing. Shepherd's looked really disappointing. I think Dalton Knecht and his 3-point shooting will win him Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, Connect has been pretty gross, man. Like I letting it go from deep. And Tatum, you're really that high on him?
I
Like
think
he's you're saying he's going to win it?
he's just going to be averaging 30 on the best team in the league. And I think there's voter fatigue is really real. I don't think Jokic is going to end up with it again. And I don't think Embiid's going to play enough games. As much as I want to kind of give the award to Anthony Davis right now after this first week, you can never bet on Anthony Davis's health. Even though he did play 74 games last year, I can never fully invest in that. I think Tatum's going to play enough games and have enough stats and have the best team record overall.
I'm going AD. I'm going AD. Dude's averaging 34, bro. 34.
I know,
Yeah.
but
Like this guy looks unlocked with JJ Redick. I
he's
mean,
street
like
clothes, though.
he looks okay. Yeah,
Don't
always
call him street
damaged.
clothes. Kawhi Leonard is street clothes.
Now, yeah, that name's he's got a new name now. But AD, man, this guy has just been unstoppable. Like, my goodness. But sleeper pick here, most improved, Ivica Zubac.
Oh, he's
That
tearing
dude
it up.
has been a monster so far. He like I saw the stat. I think he's averaging more rebounds than AD, Sabonis,
He's first in
Dan Wemby. Like,
rebounds.
yeah, he's leading the league in rebounds right now. He's averaging, I think, 20 points a game or damn near close to it. Like
22.
22, exactly. Like he's been unreal. Like for a guy who is getting ran off the court. And, in years past, right, the guy, because he's a slow-footed guy. He's a big five. And, not really much to his game. The guy has just been on a, again, early in the season, we know that. And, these players usually do calm down. But if the Clippers, like, they're 2-1, they've beat some good teams, they could definitely, make a run. And Zubac could get that most improved. That's just me. That's my early pick.
Well,
Way too early, but.
he's taken 19 shots and like 17 shots. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, there's no one else because it's him and Harden. Like, if Kawhi doesn't ever come back,
Shout
then
out Norman Powell though. Don't forget Norm. Stormin'
Norman
Norman.
Powell is always consistent. But yeah, like
He had
Zubac's,
22 in the fourth quarter the other day.
yeah. But
22
like
in the fourth
Zubac's had
against
18
Denver.
rebounds yesterday. Like, he's been legit, 23 and 18 with six assists, like Jokic type stuff.
Never
Yeah.
underestimate James Harden getting the most out of a big just in the pick and roll. Like, no
Jeez.
matter what
Shout out
age
like
James Harden,
2017, 2018, Clint Capella. Remember
yeah,
that?
literally.
no matter what age James Harden is, he can always get the most out of a center if they can just roll to the basket. He can find them perfectly, set them up with the best passes at the rim. He just knows how to do it. And Harden's looking like a prime. He's not shooting efficiently at all, but he's still
No,
averaging 25 and
horrible.
12.
Yeah, it's nuts. He's
Well,
leading the league in assists right now. It's crazy.
yeah, but he's also taking like 30 shots a game. Like, he hasn't
Well, they're
looked.
2-1.
They're 2-1, and
So,
they could almost be 3-0. Like, he's
like,
doing what
yeah.
it takes to win.
They beat the Warriors, they beat the Nuggets, and they lost to the Suns in OT.
And they could have won if Harden didn't miss the floater.
Yeah. So, anyways, moving on. That's one LA team. Another one, the Lakers. Evan, your favorite team, your boys.
Yeah.
Seems like some players have been unlocked over there due to a certain someone.
Yeah, I mean JJ Redick, like everyone was giving him so much heat from, you know, coaching AAU to all of a sudden having the responsibility of coaching LeBron and Anthony Davis. But if you just see the way that he's like, I've never seen so many dribble handoffs in a Lakers game than I have with JJ Redick. Like the first play against the Suns, they do a dribble handoff at the top with D-Load with AD. Flip with Austin Reeves and 80, and then Reeves cuts to the basket, and I'm just like, Darvin Ham would have his hands in his
Salute.
pockets.
He salute.
It's
Darvin
so,
Ham. Yeah, telling everybody salute.
you just like you see the mind of JJ Redick, and I think he's legit. Like I know it's been only three games, but they
They're three
beat,
and oh. These are
yeah,
good wins. They beat the
but
Kings. They beat
they
the
beat the
Suns. They
Kings. They
came back from
came,
down 22.
yeah. Came back from down 22 against the Suns, beat the Timberwolves in the first game of the year, and then just beat the Sacramento Kings, Anthony Davis' first time. But, you know, the one thing that
Kings
Darvin Ham
announcer is way
couldn't
too happy
do.
about that. I don't know if you saw those clips. Sending
Like
down the
he.
streamer, this is game seven.
Yeah.
He is now 1-10 against Sabonis in his career. I think that's a really funny stat.
Yeah, but you look at the way that the Lakers are playing, and I mean, obviously they're dependent still on LeBron and AD, but LeBron went like on a 16-0 run to start the fourth quarter against the Kings, and
Nuts.
Rui Hachimura has
Nuts.
looked really good, and
Yep.
Austin Reeves has looked really good. Reeves was not good in the game against the Kings, but you know, you just look at it like Connect looks good. Jackson Hayes was a plus 24 in 14 minutes against the Kings. Like I've never seen Darvin Ham do that.
No, it's usually a minus 24.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
Reeves and Davis were both minus 20, and Hayes and Connect were a plus 24 and plus 16.
That's wild.
I mean, JJ Redick's pretty much just doing what Frank Vogel did his first year with the Lakers in 2020, where they wanted to crash the offensive glass, and he said, let's just play how they did in 2020, where they were running JaVale McGee starting alongside Anthony Davis, and they're giving more minutes to Jackson Hayes, trying to get more pressure on the rebound. And it's working for them. They're basically playing a very similar way to how they did back in 2020, but just with,
So many offensive rebounds, my goodness. Like second chance points too, they're all over the place. They shoot the ball like crap from three. They're taking a lot, but they're not making much, but they get so many second chance points. It's crazy.
That's what works out so well for them. They've been able just to get the offensive rebound. And Jackson Hayes would play spot minutes last year, and his minutes have gone on a bit of an uptake this year, but he's having way more of an impact. I wouldn't even notice when Jackson Hayes was on the court last year. This year, he seems like such more of an impact player for them because he's affecting the glass. He's putting pressure on the glass. And if he's not getting the rebound, he's forcing it and tapping it out, and someone else is grabbing it.
And Vanderbilt isn't even back yet.
Yeah,
Vanderbilt?
Vando ain't doing nothing. Let's be real here. He'll play some defense.
Defensively.
Yeah, but that guy is cannot do a single thing on offense. Like
I just need you to play defense, baby. That's all I need you,
he
Vando.
Now, speaking of Darvin Ham going to his team, well, now he's the assistant there. The Bucks. These guys stink. My goodness. They beat a very injured Philly team, missing their two best players and Paul George and Joel Embiid. You know, beat them handily, had like about a 20-point lead, I think, for most of the game. They lose to the Bulls as 10-point favorites, or 9.5-point favorites, whatever, same thing, to the Bulls, and who put up 93 points, by the way, against Memphis the other day. Or, yeah, Memphis. Oh, no, sorry, OKC against OKC, different West team. And then they lost to the Nets, a team that literally is selling everyone that they can and their mothers to try and get Cooper Flagg, and yet they still lose. Mind you, that's a rookie head coach as well in Jordy Fernandez. Shout out Team Canada head coach. Man, these guys are selling, bro. Like, I get it. Chris Middleton's out, but like, still have Giannis and Dame.
Yeah,
And
but
Bobby P, bro. Shout out Bobby Portis.
you also have Taurean Prince playing 32 minutes a game. And any Lakers fan would have told you that as soon as Taurean Prince went to the Bucks and Darvin Ham, his his dad that we need to just at least see the papers. But Torian Prince playing 32. I get Chris Middleton is out, but Torian Prince is a liability on defense, and he's shooting the ball effective, like really, really well. But it's Torian Prince. Like, that is a traffic cone on defense.
Yeah.
He's not what he used to be. This guy was a like pretty good defender, and now he's kind of just not. I don't really know. The whole Bucks team defensively, though, just not that good. Like, I've always thought like Giannis pretty overrated. Brook very slow. He's also really old now. Dame never a good defender in his life. And it's just like defensively, and they have the Doc Rivers as their coach. There's nobody I hate more in all of basketball than Doc Rivers.
They're 18 and 21 since he took over.
Yeah.
They were 30 and 13 with Adrian Griffin.
Yeah. One thing about the Bucks is, like you guys alluded to it, their defense is awful right now because you made a signing for one for Torian Prince and Gary Trent Jr. being your starting two guard. Gary Trent Jr. might be the most
He
like
got crossed up by Austin Reeves last year.
the most like faked out like defender in the NBA where he has high steal numbers, but high steal numbers aren't always everything. He is a traffic cone on defense along with Torian Prince, and you already have Dame in that starting lineup. You're putting everything on Giannis and Brook Lopez, and Brook Lopez is only really at the rim protection. So Giannis is basically
Yeah,
the only
Giannis
real
is
good
also a help
defender.
defender. Giannis is only a good help defender. This guy's, don't get me wrong, good defender still, extremely overrated. This guy's an amazing, if not one of the best ever at help side defense. Not a great primary defender.
Yeah, he's not a good point of attack defender. And the Bucks really don't, even when Chris Middleton comes back, the amount of knee surgeries this guy has, his knees are
Oh my
basically pulled
God.
pork at this point. Like,
Yeah. He's at Barbacoa at Chipotle. Like, I'm eating that every day.
he isn't able to play defense as well as he used to before. And what's really gonna change for the Bucks once he comes back? Yeah, you're gonna get an extra 15 points per game, but that's not really gonna help you defensively. You're going to give up an extra 20.
Yeah, it's not very good. Not very good at all. Moving on, quick little bit about Ja. Great seeing him back. I mean, I was watching that Utah game. This dude had some of the most insane plays I've seen in basketball.
He's on a
7.3.
minutes restriction right now. He hasn't played more
Yeah.
than 28 minutes, and he's averaging 21 and 7 still. Like, he's playing really well right now, coming back just from, obviously he missed the rest of last year after that suspension due to an injury, and only 25 minutes per game right now, and he's still looking like prime Ja. And it just goes to show like
He looks gross.
the Grizzlies are on their way back up just because the amount of they were the worst team to deal with injuries last year. Everybody on their roster got hurt. And even right now, to begin the
Everyone,
season,
every
Jaren
single person.
Jackson's still hurt. It's Hopefully, they can end up getting healthier by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, this Grizzlies team, that's what makes the West so like deep is the fact that the Memphis Grizzlies last year, just didn't have anyone really healthy, and you look at them now, they're going to be a terrifying team to play against once everyone is fully healthy, and that's including guys like Luke Kennard, as well as Jaren Jackson Jr. Because I mean, even their bench is really solid when fully healthy. You got Marcus Smart coming up. You could have Marcus Smart even play bench minutes as well. Luke Kennard is a spot up three ball shooter. And then congratulations to Jae Huff, who got a 4-year contract today. Former Laker legend,
Huge,
Jae
bro.
Huff. Yeah.
Santi Aldama too, bro. This guy has 2 20-point games already. This
Jae Huff
guy is,
is averaging 13 points per
yeah,
game.
he's shooting crazy good from three too. No,
Yeah, he's shooting 57% from three and
yeah.
64% from the field. And he's not like, it's not like these are just lucky. Like, he's
No,
been a
he's
three-point
making a good
shooter
shot. Yeah, he's taking them.
his entire career. And it's like he's bounced around so many different places. Like, even as a guy that you could just throw in garbage time, like that is a great option to have as a center.
100%, 100%. Next up, another West team, Nuggets, winless. 0-2, lost to OKC, lost to the Clippers. They look like garbage other than Jokic. It's literally the only thing that works on offense.
Playing bad right now. It's due mainly to their start. I think MPJ has been building a house as well. Like he hasn't been
Yeah.
playing good either. I didn't even think Aaron Gordon could be this inconsistent and bad, and he's been playing awful too. Like
Aaron Gordon barely shoots the ball. How does he suck at taking layups?
yeah, like Aaron Gordon, everyone on that team is struggling right now. It's just been besides Jokic. And even then, Jokic still only had like a 16-point game in their
He's
last
not
game.
getting any assists too. I don't know if you
Yeah.
noticed that. Jokic is not getting any
Because no
assists.
one can shoot the ball. Yeah.
No. So you said no one and not just Russ?
Yeah, but Russ, there's no spacing off the bench.
Switching leagues, WNBA. A lot of head coaching vacancies, seven. And there's only, what, 12 teams? How is there seven vacancies? This is pretty wild. No?
Yeah, I think that's just something to do with a lot of their contracts coming up at the same time. A lot of these coaches came into the league at around the same time. It's just weird to see that, like, yeah, seven of more than half the league n without a coach is kind of crazy.
Yeah, seven. Like
It's
that's,
all
I don't,
happened.
yeah, they it's all happened in the last like week or 2 weeks or whatever, because they're all think, oh, we didn't win, so we're I, this is my thought process. They don't think they just say, oh, we didn't win with you last couple years, you're fired. What do you expect to win in every year or something like that? Like,
I was just surprised the Fever like let go of their head coach because like
yeah.
they just made the playoffs
You
again.
went from the number one seed or from the number one pick to making the playoffs, and yeah, you got swept in two games, but you can build on something there. Like you have Caitlin Clark,
Yeah.
Aliyah Boston, you have a team to build around. But
Yeah, I mean, they won seven more games this year. I don't get how that
weird.
doesn't deserve a renewal.
Anyways, quick shout out to Toronto Metropolitan University, our hometown TMU Bold, both women's and men's basketball starting off 2-0. Great finish starts to their season. Home games are both on November 2nd against Algoma, so tune into that on OUA.TV. But Chris, you want to wrap this thing up for us?
Yeah, once again, thank you guys for listening to the Threes Company podcast. We really appreciate every single listen, and we'll see you all next week.